I'd like to read some verses from the Acts of the Apostles, please, and the chapter 13. The chapter 13 of the Acts of the Apostles. Just some verses that introduce our topic to us today. Here in chapter 13 of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul has just begun his great ministry. He starts off in Cyprus, then moves on, and if you look at the verse 14, we read they departed from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Public reading of the word of God was a central part of worship, both for the Jewish church and for us today. And when that took place, we read that the rulers of the Jews said unto the two men, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, please come and speak to us. In the verse 16 we read, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Now look on further down to verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. How did they hear? How did they know what had been preached? Well, there were some Gentile, that is, non-Jewish, converts to the Jewish religion, the religion of the Old Testament, and they were in the synagogue, and they heard what Paul said about the Messiah, coming of the Lord Jesus, and the gospel that was to be preached to all. And they naturally thought of their family, their friends, their acquaintances, their neighbors who were Gentiles and who wouldn't come to the synagogue. And thus they approached Paul and said, would you preach to the Gentiles? As we read on there from verse 42, verse 43, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes, that's a convert to the Jewish religion, followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost a whole city together to hear the word of God. Oh, this is what God can do. A meeting in the synagogue, but the whole city is affected. There goes out from that meeting, by the grace and power of God, an influence, a heavenly influence that draws the attention of the whole city nearly. And the next Sabbath, they gather to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. That's to the Jews. Remember what the Savior said, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, beginning at Jerusalem. It has to be to the Jew first, no matter where you go. Start with the Jewish community. So they have heard the word of God, these Jews, it was spoken to them first. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. That is an indication of how the word of God, the gospel, was proclaimed to the Gentiles. And linked to the proclamation of the gospel to the Gentiles was the refusal of the gospel by the Jews. They didn't want to hear. And God then turned to the Gentiles. And as we now go back to the book of Ruth, I'll remind you that we're looking at some prophetic foreshadowings in the book of Ruth, concerning very important matters. We talked about the fall of Israel being foreshadowed in the book of Ruth. And of course it is in the departure, the backsliding, the going away from Israel by the family of Elimelech and Naomi into Moab. You have a picture of what would later happen to the Jewish nation when they would turn from the Lord Jesus and from the gospel, turn to darkness and reject the word of God. And that's the state that the Jewish people are in today. They're in a state of rejection. They don't believe the message of Christ. Basically, they don't believe the New Testament's revelation. They don't believe that. Oh, they say they believe the Old Testament, but of course, as they read the Old Testament, their eyes are closed and they can't see in the Old Testament the picture of Christ that is presented. He was wounded for our transgressions, etc., etc. Isaiah 53. They don't see Christ there and in the many other places that he is revealed. So, this is foreshadowed in the going into Moab by Naomi and Elimelech. But as a result of them departing from the Lord, them departing from Israel and going into Moab, what happened? Ruth was converted. Ruth was converted. And there you have a picture of what would happen in the future. What is happening right now? The ingathering of the Gentiles. The ingathering of the Gentiles. You know, boys and girls, it was always God's will that not only would there be a chosen nation, the Jewish people, but there would also be, from all the nations of the world, an elect people gathered to Christ. Just look at Genesis chapter 12. And here is the beginning of the story of Abraham. And you know that Abraham was, as it were, the foundation of the nation of Israel. He was, as it were, the first stone in the great building that God was erecting in the world. The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. Well, in a very special way, the building process here in Genesis chapter 12 is reaching a very significant part. God calls Abraham. And if you look at the very beginning of the chapter 12, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Here's the beginning of Abraham's pilgrimage. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So God's purpose from the beginning was not only to gather a special nation, the Jewish people, but he was also going to gather out of all the nations a people blessed, and they would be blessed through Abraham. And how that happens is pictured for us in the life of Ruth. You have the scattering illustrated for us, the scattering of Israel in the case of Naomi and Elimelech. But as a result of that, they go to Moab. Their sons begin a relationship and a marriage with two young Moabitish women, one of whom is Ruth. And Ruth hears the truth of God, doubtless in her conversations with Naomi, because while Naomi was a backslider, she still knew the truth. She had acted foolish in forsaking Judah and coming to Moab, but she still had a knowledge of God within her heart, and she shared that knowledge with Ruth. And as a result of that, if you turn over in Ruth to the chapter 2 and the verse 12, we read the words of Boaz as he's speaking to Ruth, And he says to her, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." She was a worshipper, she was a believer in the Lord God of Israel. What she had heard from Naomi, we can conclude, was the means of her conversion. And Ruth became a believer. She was a Gentile, but she became a believer in the Lord God of Israel. Now, that's what we read about in Acts chapter 13. Paul turning to the Gentiles in the light of the rejection and rebellious attitude of the Jews in Antioch of Pisidia. And there was a great ingathering in that city of Gentile believers. And it could be said of those Gentiles, they were, I'd say a mixture of nationalities. But they all became believers in the Lord God of Israel. And like Ruth, they were hiding under the feathers of God. That's a wonderful picture of salvation. I always regret, you know, boys and girls, that farming today is not what it used to be. Because boys and girls of your age, back when I was young, and who came from a country area, they would have been ever so familiar with hens and chickens. And they wouldn't have been locked up in a big house, and you would hardly have ever seen them, but they would have been clucking about the street outside. And you went out, you would have seen the hen with her little chicks following hard after her. And on occasions, she would squat down, and they would come and gather in under her wings. Disappear. And it used to be so amusing. As you watched, very, very soon, a little head would come popping out through the feathers. And another one, and another one. And those little chicks would be looking out from their lovely refuge upon the world through the feathers under which they had found refuge. And that was the gospel. That was the gospel. Oh, if only somebody had said to me, "There is the gospel right before your eyes," I would have understood the way of salvation much, much earlier in my life. It's a wonderful thing how God out there, boys and girls, has painted pictures of the gospel for us to see. And if you look out on nature, you look out, you'll see pictures of the gospel. We're coming into the springtime, time I love. And it's a wonderful picture in many, 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 many ways of the gospel. Already we see the daffodils beginning to push up. I was up a road there, the back road to Enniskillen, and I swung round a corner, and nestling in under a hedge was a whole swathe of snowdrops. They were now beautifying an area that a week or two ago was just littered with old dying leaves and twigs and didn't look very attractive, but suddenly up had come these beautiful little flowers. That's what God's grace does, where there's nothing but sin and darkness and rubbish and decay. By his grace he brings forth the beauty of Christ through the gospel. So, here is Ruth. She's now a believer. As a result of what had happened to Elimelech and Naomi, she's not just a believer. But you know in the story of Ruth how she met with and married Boaz. She became part of the family of Israel. A marriage took place. And that's what happens in the case of every Gentile. You and I, we're Gentile, but we're married. If you're saved, you're married, joined to Lord Jesus Christ. We're part of the family of God. We're part of the family of God. And Ruth's life became an important part of the whole story of redemption. You know that she was the great, 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 many times great grandmother of the Lord Jesus. Of her came David, and of David came Christ.
And as a result of her hearing the gospel from this Jewish family that had departed from God and was scattered and left the land appointed for them and went to Moab, she heard the gospel. She heard the gospel. And that's what has happened to us today. We sit here in Northern Ireland, far, far away from Israel, but we have the gospel here today because of Israel's sin, rebellion, and God judging them and turning from them to the Gentiles. Look at an important chapter on this subject, Romans chapter 11. Romans, the chapter 11. It's a very important chapter. Romans chapter 11, Paul is using a picture here. In the verse 17 he says, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree," he's talking to Gentiles, "wert grafted in among them, and with them partaking of the root and fatness of the olive tree." Now that's a lovely picture of what happened to Ruth and what had happened to you if you're saved. The olive tree is Israel, enjoying the blessings of God under the covenant that God made with Abraham. The blessings God promised to Abraham and to his descendants. The olive tree with its richness. That pictures for us a nation that was enjoying the blessings of God. But that nation rebelled. And some of the branches were broken off. And what God did was take some branches from the wild olive tree, the Gentiles, and he cut into the main stem of Israel, as it were, and he put the branches from the wild olive tree in there, as gardeners do, as I could do and you could do. Put them in there, bind it together, and there's a wonderful miracle takes place. I think that's the right word, because the branch of that tree bound into the split, the cut that's made in this tree, binds together, grows together. And before very long, that branch is partaking of the sap, the life, the richness of the tree into which it has been grafted. That's what we're doing. God said to Abram, "Through thee shall all nations be blessed." And the blessings God bestowed upon Abraham, we're partaking of them today. Because God grafted us into the olive tree. And we're partaking of Abraham's blessing now. Verse 11 I want to turn to. "I say then, have they," that's Israel, "stumbled that they should fall?" God forbid. "But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy." Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? I'm going to leave it there with just a little word of explanation of the verses that we have read. The fall of Israel, it led to the ingathering of the Gentiles. And then Paul says, if the fall of Israel resulted in such blessings to the world, what will not, as he puts it here, what will not be the fullness of Israel resulting? There is a hint here, very clearly, that Israel's not going to remain in this forsaken state, but in a future day there's going to be a raising of them up again. And if their fall resulted in such benefits, what benefits will not come to the world by their raising up? That's what Paul's saying. And we'll come to that on Thursday. Because you see, we not only see the fall of Israel, the ingathering of the Gentiles, but we see the restoration of Israel in these verses in Ruth. Because Naomi returned, chastened, broken, humbled, impoverished,
But she returned. And that's when the story of Ruth really takes off. And so it is, boys and girls, let me tell you. So it is one day, Naomi will return. Return to fellowship and faith in the Lord. And this world will be wonderfully blessed as a result. You can read chapter 11 of Romans, and you'll see Paul argue this case for the restoration of Israel and the benefits it will bring. Praise God, we believe in that here. We believe God. Now, I've gone on far too long. Let's bow in prayer. O God, bless our school, and help us to live, believing God's word, and enjoying the happy prospect that is set forth in it of a glorious day of blessing, not only for the nation of Israel when it is restored by God, but the wonderful bounties that will come from that restoration to all of mankind. Bless the word today to each heart, and undertake for our school. We commit its needs to thee, O God, and pray that thy hand might be upon it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.